discussion. Who's first?
Let me just kick one thing off here, Larry, if I can.
Sure.
On the locations, and this is just a discussion, I guess, a location for the 2017 meetings. Jay Keeney thinks that we need three away meetings and is proposing that we do not meet in Vancouver in January. He sent this on to Tammy, and I just wanted to throw that out. That was his question. In January, we're supposed to be Vancouver, then April is Spokane, June, Clarkston, September, Port Angeles. So if anybody had any other thoughts or wanted to pursue or to change that or continue it.
So he's proposing that we have one less
right.
Away meeting than what?
Yeah, do not meet in Vancouver in January.
Okay. Did he have a reason? Just cost savings? Or?
I don't know. Tammy, did he have a reason?
I think it was just generally that we didn't need four away meetings. We really only needed three. So I'm not, I know that the January meeting that we had this year in Vancouver was well received. We had a lot of people there. So that's why I put it on there. It doesn't really matter.
And we're going to be doing Columbia River. It's on the agenda for that meeting.
Yeah, it was one of the best attended of the meetings, so it seemed like we were really reaching constituents. I'd be reluctant to not do that.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, this is Jim Unsworth. I too would be reluctant not to have the meeting in Vancouver. I thought it was very good last year. We had a lot of participation, and with decisions looming on Columbia River policy and full implementation, I just think it's the right place to have the meeting.
Perfect. Well, here that, we'll make a management decision, but I think Brad wants to go to Vancouver, too.
This is Dave, and I agree with Kim and Jim on that. I think that's an important place to meet, given what we're considering.
Yep.
Okay, well.
I agree.
Jay's points were raised, so I think, Mr. Vice Chair, if that's fine, can I continue on a couple other just business points?
Please do. Please do,
okay.
Brad.
Jim, the director, was kind enough to invite us to partake in uniforms or clothing. I guess uniforms may be a bit too militaristic, but Tammy's only heard from a couple of us. So if you wish to have a shirt or two, please let Tammy know, okay? And she's going to be ordering these by the 14th. So if you want a shirt on your back, let her know in the next week. And bullet number three, this is a general reminder, I guess, for all of us on protocols for request of staff. I know sometimes I'm guilty as well as all of us. We do talk to staff and ask for something, but if you do need to, we all need to go through the blue sheet process. Tammy, go through Tammy or the director or the deputy director. So that's just for continuity of flow of information, so we all know what everybody's doing. So I just wanted to have that as a gentle reminder out there. On another thing. 2 days ago was the dedication at Fur Island, and Joe, are you in the room there?
I am, Mr. Chair.
Okay, well, hats off to Joe and to Bob Everett. They did great jobs as MCs. A great turnout. We had congressional staff, both Congress, both houses represented, and by staff, a lot of Fed participation. NOAA, Fish and Wildlife, County Commissioner or two, beautiful day, lots of shorebird activity, and to see what has happened down at Fur Island is really kind of amazing. It's a beautiful spot, and it was a good turnout by everybody, so again, hats off to Joe and to Bob for emceeing. And Joe, did you want to add anything?
Thanks to you, Mr. Chair, for being there. I thought, as you, that it turned out really well and a lot of hard work. $16.4 million over a number of years, and it was kind of cool. The ribbon cutting was actually done by one of our retired staff, Brian Williams, who helped start the whole discussion against a pretty strong opposition initially, but it was real. Community show of support there with agriculture and environmental groups and all kinds of folks there together. So that was pretty cool.
And if there's any press, can you make sure we get to see what comes out?
Will do.
Okay. That's all I have, Mr. Vice Chair, at this point.
Mr. Vice
Anyone
Chair,
else?
I've yes, got a couple blue sheets.
Yes, Mr. Wecker.
Okay. The first blue sheet is on grazing on WDFW lands. That's the title. And this interest in mine arose when we had a citizen come in and make some statements about the impact of the grazing we're allowing on our lands, statements that I thought were inaccurate, to say the least. So I thought this would be useful to the full commission to hear the real story in more detail. So I've generated a blue sheet on the subject of grazing on WDFW lands, and I've assigned the priority level of medium, both in importance and urgency, and then describe what we're looking for here as information on the specific conditions placed on grazing permits, allowing cattle use on WDFW lands, the science done to justify these conditions, the monitoring done to assure compliance, and the outreach done to work with stakeholders. And the output requested would just be a briefing at this point. So that's my motion to approve the blue sheet on grazing on WDFW lands.
This is Dave Graybill. I would second that.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Do we have any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same. Motion carries. Thank you, Commissioner Wecker, and your second one.
Okay, the second one I've titled Pacific Salmon Commission, and request due date soon as possible, soon as convenient. Importance I would place as high and urgency as high, and the information knowledge that I'm proposing is the information on the composition, authorities, and responsibilities of Pacific Salmon Commission, the process for resolving competing interests, how utilization and conservation interests are balanced, how the process responds to the interests of Washington State, and the key issues being addressed by the PSC this year. And what I'm proposing is, again, just a briefing for the commission. And the reason I think that this is important at this moment is that, at least on the coast, the coastal Chinook stocks, in Willapa Bay have once again been listed as overfished. We're in a situation where we're doing everything we can on our end in terms of limiting our fishery, investing in habitat restoration, but the sad fact is most of our fish are being intercepted in Alaska and in British Columbia. So we are just... the returning stocks are something like 15% of the overall run size, So we're in a box that, and we're doing our best on our end, but until we understand how we more effectively advocate for greater returns to Washington, we're going to be in a kind of unsolvable situation. So I'd like to understand, I'd like the rest of the commission to understand the process, and I hear from Vice Chair Carpenter that the same kinds of dilemmas are faced in Puget Sound as well, Columbia River, so it's not just the coast. That's my rationale.
We have a motion.
Oh, that's my motion, too.
Oh, yeah. Do we have a second?
Second.
I would second that.
Commissioner Grabo, I think that was you first. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Do we have any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same. Motion carries. Thank you, Commissioner Wecker. I guess while we're on that train right now, I have a couple myself. I have two blue sheets that I've been thinking about for a period of time. One of them is a very basic grassroots. I'm sorry, I can't put my phone on mute right now. Otherwise, I'd be happy to. But it's a real grassroots situation that we have in many of our fisheries all over the state of Washington, particularly the marine areas. But the title of the request is Forage Fish Briefing. And I'll be very brief. I'm very, very concerned about the food chain from out-migrating salmonids from freshwater to estuarian areas and then further into Puget Sound and out into the ocean. And I'd like to better understand that. And one of the reasons I have concern about it is for decades we had a division of WFW that operated out of La Conner that I recall that did forage fish surveys. They did acoustical surveys at night for herring and other food fish, and were able to keep a trend on the biomass and so on. I'm not a scientist, but I know we need to know what's out there, or I don't think we can manage particularly well. So the importance of this would be medium. The urgency is low. I'd request the staff to provide a briefing on the historic trends of abundances of herring, sandlands in particular, also covering spawning capacity and areas that relates to the normal geography throughout the state. And I don't know that it makes sense to link predation into that, but if they choose to do that, they could. So that's my first blue sheet request, and that is a motion.
Second, Thorburn.
Commissioner Thorburn, second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same. Motion carries. This one I can go on for quite some time, but I'm going to be pretty brief about this blue sheet, and this is a motion, and the title is Electronic Catch Accounting. And I want to start this process with a briefing, but my intent is to push this in a fashion that we somehow, in the not near too distant future, we have electronic catch accounting in all of our fisheries, marine areas, and perhaps freshwater as well. The importance on this I consider high, and the urgency is high. Just to give you some examples, as it would work, in my view, how it can work on the recreational fishery, 90-some percent of the people that are recreational fishermen have cell phones. There's abilities now, apps out there, they can punch in latitude, longitude, catch reporting area, species of fish. It could be done immediately upon catching or no later if they didn't have a cell phone when they get back to their residence, and either by computer or, worst case, a telephone call. One of the other things I think is critically important is when it comes to the commercial, both tribal and non-tribal fisheries, that the buyers, the fish buyers that are licensed by the Department of Fish and Wildlife, I think need to have real-time catch accounting by species that goes in within a 24-hour period or less of the purchase of the fish from a fisherman. and then those fish tickets can be matched up with the fish tickets from the fishermen, and we can actually really do a job of managing our fisheries. And I think that's one of our biggest shortfalls. So the information on the current system of fish receiving tickets, issues associated with hard copy tickets, pros and cons of moving to the full electronic system, and the use of electronic tickets by other jurisdictions such as the Pacific States Marine Fisheries and others. It's a big picture issue, and I think we have to get started on it. So that is my my second blue sheet.
I second the second blue sheet.
Commissioner Wecker seconds. Any further discussion?
This is Commissioner Graybill. I believe there is a budget line item dedicated to the development of electronic monitoring. Now, and I wasn't sure if that was just for sport catch or if that funding could be also be used for the development of an app for commercial applications as well. I'm not sure who could answer that for me right now, but it supports what you're asking for, Larry, and I think that is a significant move to the future.
Well, thank you. Any other thoughts on that? So we have a motion and a second. I didn't call for the question yet, I don't believe, did I?
No.
No.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same. Motion carries. Thank you very much. What else do we have?
Commissioner Carpenter. Yes. Commissioner, yes. Thorburn. I think that I can also submit the blue sheet for Commissioner Holtzmiller that kind of started this entire discussion. I know he's interested in having a briefing, and we discussed what the briefing was about. He actually said he'd be willing to submit a blue sheet in his absence. It is a matter of a contemporary matter, so it's probably worth getting the blue sheet before the commission. So if the commission's okay with that, I'd be willing to try to submit Holtzmiller's blue sheet for him.
Does anyone have any objection? Hearing none, go ahead, Commissioner Thorburn.
Okay, so the title is Planning for Shooting Ranges on WDFW Lands. It is of probably moderate importance and moderate urgency because there are issues going on right now in some WDFW lands in central Washington, particularly, I think, the Wenas Wildlife Area. There is planning now to perhaps establish shooting ranges in the various regions. And the request is for a briefing. Holtzmiller has been hearing from constituents on this issue, which is why he raised it. So that's the motion.
Is that a motion, Commissioner Thorburn?
It is a motion.
Okay.
I second.
Mr. Wecker seconds the motion. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same. Motion carries. Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. I've been kind of...
Mr. Vice Chair, we were going to talk about the budget policy.
Oh, yes. My sheets are a little delinquent because my computer, I won't use the term that it did, but so I'm kind of working off a few sheets of paper, so take it away.
Well, just to give the commission a little background on the previous budget policy, the last biennium, we launched a process for talking fairly intensively and regularly with our sport fishing stakeholders because we were considering increasing the license fees the last budget-setting session. And we knew we needed to address their concerns, talk with them about how the fees would be structured. So we launched what, for a better name, we called our Sport Fishing Council. And one of the things that they asked us, this was composed of the leadership of most of the major sport fishing organizations and many of the very active advocates for sport fishing. So we met numerous times, and one of the requests they made of us was to make sure that we had a policy that spelled out how we would spend the money that we asked of them. And so we developed a budget policy for the last biennium, and we're in a slightly different situation now. We ended up not achieving a license fee increase last biennium. This time, we're knowing how much more important it is. It's crucial. So we I have been talking with some of the sport leadership that I worked with during the last biennium to develop a new draft. The new draft has been circulated. I know you probably haven't had much chance to look at it, so maybe this is not the appropriate time to ask for approval, but that's the introduction. This is a proposal to update the budget policy as a means to speak to our stakeholders who we are asking for more money from.
Any comments, questions?
Yeah, Commissioner Smith. Commissioner Keough couldn't be on the call, and he called me the other day and wanted a couple of points raised about this. So can I raise his points?
Yes, sir. You're the chair.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. I mean, he wrote
all about, ears.
Yeah, but what you said, Miranda, that it wasn't going to be acted upon, I think he thought that there was going to be a vote now. So maybe that takes some of the sting out of some of this. But he's got 4 points, and I'll go through these briefly. He just says, this document, point one, this document was not developed with input from all commissioners. I did not see this document until Wednesday. Moreover, adoption of such a policy should be done in a regularly scheduled meeting with notice to the public, not during a conference call. I think that one's been put to bed. Number two, I fail to see what purpose this document serves. The commission has already approved the department's budget fee increase package, which has been sent to the governor's office. The governor's office will amend the budget package as deems fit and will send it to the legislature. The legislature will ultimately decide the department activities are funded at this level of funding. And point three, the document asserts that commercial fisheries cost more for the department to manage than the revenue the department receives from commercial license fees. Such an assertion ignores the fact that over the past 20 years, the commercial fishing industry has introduced legislation seeking to direct fish landing taxes assessed on commercially harvested fish to the department instead of the general fund. Moreover, most of the revenue from commercial license fees go to the general fund instead of directly to the department, which is simply a carryover from the days before the merger in the department. And last point, four, the policy directs the department to undertake some sort of cost-benefit analysis of recreational fisheries versus commercial fisheries. The department lacks the resources and expertise to undertake such an analysis. Moreover, there is nothing in RCW Title 77 which provides that the commission shall make decisions regarding access to the state's fisheries resource based on economic return to the state. So I'm, again, relaying Commissioner Keough's. He's on a plane to Boston.
Well, I don't think we're going to put this up for adoption today. I think I tend to agree with most of you that that's going to require a little bit more time. I certainly understand where Commissioner Keough's coming from, and I understand his background. The fact remains we have some very, very delicate scenarios ongoing in the recreational community of trying to keep some of these folks on board. and to keep them being supportive of the Department of Fish and Wildlife. So, yes, we have some work to do on this, and I guess it would be my recommendation that we put this off. When should we have it on what month's agenda? Do we have room on the November time frame, or do we move it into December? Tammy, your thoughts?
Maybe December would be my suggestion, if you're wanting to ask for the public to come. Let me talk to Joe and Jim a little bit more, and okay. I'll get back to you.
Okay. Any other comments by the other commissioners on that?
I guess, oh, sorry, whoever,
oh,
are you, Connie?
Commissioner Graybill. The concerns Bob has, Commissioner Kehoe has on the economic analysis, I think should be addressed, but I think that has been addressed and information is available on the economic benefits of recreational fishing versus commercial fishing. If further study is required, we should do that. I think that's important information. Commissioner Carpenter alluded to, there are strong objections from stakeholders about the commercial take versus recreational take and what the commercial industry contributes. Now, there is a process in front of us right now that will go to the legislature about transferring fees to the department rather than the general fund, and that will help. But in the policy draft that we have indicates only 5% of the cost of managing the fisheries for paid for by commercial fishing. So those are important questions, and it does need further study. And I think it's important that is an item to be discussed at the December meeting. Mm-hmm. I know November is pretty packed.
Mr. Wenger?
Yeah, and I was just going to add that in tweaking the previous policy language, I worked with Jennifer Kwan and Owen Rowe, the director and deputy director were informed that this was being tweaked, being updated. So this wasn't just a stab by me. This has been reviewed by staff, and there was some conversation with Jennifer and Owen about the feasibility of doing cost-benefit analysis, the limits that of the resources within the department for that sort of thing. But the language we came up with was Jennifer and Owen appeared to be comfortable with. So just wanted to give you that background. I don't think we're too far from having some language that we can all be comfortable with. And I think we were looking at just having this done before the ledge session begins, because it is our way of providing some assurances to the stakeholders who will be there at the legislature lobbying hard either for or against our fee increase. So this is something that we're going to have to figure out how to handle, working with them to give them enough assurances that they can support our bill.
Any additional comments on this item? So we'll have this on the December agenda. Any other general discussion points today?
Mr. Chair, this is Jim. I have a couple just briefing points, if you have time.
Please do.
First off, that's a great list of blue sheet items. I look forward to hearing all of those. And a couple of them we've actually got a little bit ahead on, and we've talked to Phil Anderson and Jim Scott about providing a briefing on PSC and where they're at. They just had their fall meeting finishing up today, and so I've been following those the daily briefings, and they're making some progress, but those are tough negotiations, so I'm looking forward to all of those briefings. We had a couple of good meetings with the recreational community over the last few weeks. The list of topics and their concerns are, I guess, similar to last year, but certainly north of Falcon and our strategy there was a major topic of concern. What was it, this week or last week?
This week
when we had our meeting. You know, the department is, we're doing what we can to try to separate the ESA coverage from the actual allocation of fisheries. And I think we're making some progress. We have a good schedule worked out with the solicitors, the attorneys, and I think we're on track to get our permitting done right about the same time, or right around the 1st of April, or 1st of March when we need it. So I'm encouraged there. As far as the Columbia River policy goes, the Fish Committee will be meeting October 21st, and I know the Fish Committee has been working hard. They've been throwing some ideas around. I think we'll have a pre-meeting.
Hoping to set it up. I think Kathy will try to set something up for the morning of the 14th, the 12th.
So there's some interesting dynamics there between the Oregon Commission, our commission, and both of our policies and where we're at. And certainly where we settle on that is going to affect the recreational community and their support for other major things, i.e. our Wild Futures program. So looking forward to those discussions, and I'm glad that we have the Fish Committee given some careful thought to them. I guess those were my main items. I asked Donnie to be here. Our wolf control action is ongoing. It's drug on for a long time, not because we haven't been trying, but because we're dealing in working in very difficult terrain and vegetative area. And anyway, I wanted Donnie to give a brief update. We have a couple of other packs that are getting in a bit of trouble. I keep talking to folks that where we're at with our population, this is kind of the beginning of a population size where we'll be having more challenges along the way, and I think we're starting to see what wolf management is all about. Certainly we've had tastes of it, or the commission has in the past, but I want to commend Donnie and his staff this year. The progress we've made with the Wolf Advisory Group and the acceptance of our methodology has been really pretty remarkable. The disagreements or the heat we've gotten have mostly been outside of the state, and within the state we've had a lot of support for our program. So all of that it'll be interesting to see how that is impacted in the future when we get into multiple depredations and have multiple problems at once. But anyway, with that intro, I'll let Donnie just give you a brief update.
Good morning, commissioners. I know that Tammy's forwarding the WAG initiative parties updates that I do pretty much weekly, but I just wanted to give you a quick overview. As Director Unsworth said, the profanity pack has been a long process this summer. To date, we've had 15 depredations, 10 confirmed and 5 probable. Director Unsworth authorized removal back in the first week of August. Since that authorization for lethal removal of wolves, about half of the depredations we've seen in the pack have occurred after we've started lethal removal, and we had our last one October 3rd. So it's been a very long process through most of the summer, and the length of that is just an artifact of we continue to see depredations, and we haven't seen that we've been able to curb or stop that. So I'll continue to give updates to the public and WAG members and you what that looks like over the next month. Most of that area is federal grazing allotments, and the end of that grazing period is the end of this month. And so we'll just keep assessing that as the situation changes, and I'll keep you posted. The other one that, or the other couple areas that Director Unsworth mentioned is we've recently had a couple depredations in the smack outpack. We've included that in the last couple updates. And then we have a depredation recently in the dirty shirt pack. And if we recall, that was the pack that we had four confirmed depredations this last year. And so we're watching all of those two packs as well very closely. And I'll keep you posted if we see those things escalate as well. Those are both a combination of allotment settings by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, or the Forest Service, and with DNR, and some private ground in both of those areas as well. To date, in the profanity pack, we've removed seven wolves, and with our effort in the profanity pack is ongoing. I have another item I wanted to check in with you on, but before that, any questions?
No, just I think we all appreciate what you're doing, Donnie, in a very difficult role that you have to play there. So,
thank you. You bet. I appreciate that. It's a lot more than me, and I know that you all are aware of that. There's a team of folks, both internally and externally, and WAG members, and we're all working together to get through this tough stuff. And relatively new for Washington, as you know, this is the third time that the agency has authorized lethal removal of wolves, and each of those times, it's been similar to across the West, very controversial. And as the director mentioned, we have seen a noticeable change in that this year, where in the past, where that is really divided the state, folks are really supportive of the stakeholder process that we're using. And as difficult and challenging this is, I think that we have those resilient relationships to keep working with stakeholders and learn from, each year how things go and improve how it goes the next year. So related to that, one of the things I wanted to throw out there for your consideration is how we want to engage with the public on this issue of just the wolf management over the course of the summer. As you know, back in 2012 when we removed wolves in the wedge pack, and 2014 in the huckleberry pack, it creates quite a controversy around amongst Washingtonians, to the point where they really have in the past needed a venue to be able to express their concerns to the department. In those past occasions in 2012, 2014, that has come in the shape of some town meetings, which have been very difficult for us, and also I think frustrating for some of the folks that participate in those. As you saw, the last WAG meeting that we had turned into, there was quite a bit of public there, and we did adjust the agenda for the WAG meeting to listen to the public, but it really distracted the WAG from being able to carry on with their workshop style and the other agenda items they were hoping to work on. So one of the things I wanted to put out there for your consideration is this upcoming November meeting. Of course, we always do Director Unsworth always does a director's report on wolf items, current wolf items, and we could continue that way and try to summarize how this summer went in that director's report, or alternatively, we could put a agenda item on the November meeting on that Saturday for a briefing on wolf activities over this summer. So it would be, of course, profanity and anything else that we have in smack out or a dirty shirt. And the only thing I'll add to that is my senses are that the public wants to engage with the department, and really it's one to look to you to your considerations and what venue do we think would be the right for that engagement.
So, this is Commissioner Thorburns. If it were a briefing, then the idea is to allow public testimony, or because we saw the invitation to the public to come and talk about wolves. Was that just intended to be the open public testimony, or what? I'm not exactly clear on the distinction you're making. It's likely we're going to spring from the public with the invitation that's already gone out.
Yes, Commissioner. Prior to the last WAG meeting, I visited with Chairman Smith about informing the public that the WAG meetings is probably not the right venue to provide input to the department, and reminded them of the upcoming November commission meeting. And so that would be the general comment portion of the commission meeting.
Okay.
Friday morning and Saturday morning. Even with a briefing, that would still be the opportunity for the public to provide comment. I think the difference is if we put it on the agenda, it's going to flag that opportunity for the public. More of the public will be aware that there'll be a more comprehensive briefing, and I think we'd get a larger turnout. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, is we get a larger turnout than if we provide that update as part of the director's report.
I see. Thank you.
Brad, you and I also talked about this. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, when Donnie and I talked, I suggested we do this on Friday, not on Saturday. We do not make this part of an agenda item as such, and we do not change the venue to a larger facility. I guess what my caution in all of those points was that I don't want to open up a commission meeting to a three-ring. I won't say that, but you know, to some of the situations we visited before. So the opportunity for the public to engage is critical, but this is one item, albeit a visible item, but it's still one item of many that we have to deal with, and I don't want to single this out for public engagement. But that's what Donnie and I talked about. That's what Larry and I talked about. Was that accurate, Larry?
That is, and I tend to agree with that, having been through it previously. And I guess I'll speak for myself. I'm not a wolf expert. We have wolf experts. We myself included, is here for policy. But to try and put us in a bench where we are seen as the expert makes it a little bit difficult, I think. So I agree with that, Brad. Any other comments?
This is Tammy. I have a comment. Friday agenda is very full already. And just a reminder, both you, Larry, and Brad mentioned that you both needed to leave on Saturday by noon. So I'm just concerned about where we're going to put this. And I can work with Donnie on that as well. There's a couple things that are still kind of hanging out there that I don't have answers on yet. So that is a little bit of a concern, especially if the chair and the vice chair need to leave the meeting on Saturday.
Well, Commissioner Thorburn again. So what I understood from both Brad and Larry was just keep it as a part of the director's report rather than flag it any more than it's already been noted, because there has been the notice that's gone out to the public, the invitation to come in and talk about wolves, rather than have it as a special agenda item. Is that what I understand, gentlemen?
That's what I proposed, yeah.
Likewise.
That would be perfect if
that
works.
Make that work.
I certainly support that then.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorman. Anything else on anyone's mind today?
Oh, I was asked by Tammy, I'm sorry, just about who, that there's a conference call on the 21st to just let people remember that, or to remind people.
Well, we have we'll be not available because we go into session at 9 o'clock with the Oregon Commission on the 21st.
Okay, then Tammy, you and I can juggle that schedule.
Okay. Larry, I think your meeting would be after our conference call if we need to have the commission conference call. but we'll work.
Maybe if we need to have a commission conference call, we can start it at 8 o'clock, because I'm sure Connie, Dave, myself, and Keo will be in Olympia then. So whatever your pleasure.
Okay, I'll work with Fish Program.
So just one final comment from me, just an update on our data breach issues. Pretty much everybody should have received letters from Active Outdoors with a offer of monitoring credit, et cetera. We've been getting several calls and emails since that went out. People are finally being contacted and they're responding a bit. I'm working on a reply, just a letter and web page from me to the people to try to instill some confidence in where we're going in the future, what kind of options we're outlining, and just acknowledgement that we're very disappointed and sorry, if you will, that this occurred. So we're working on that letter, and hopefully we'll have something out today on that. But lots of other things going on. The staff's done a terrific job on in-season management of coho, getting some people on the water. Anyway, things are popping and popping out here, so that's all I have.
Very good. Thank you, Director. If we have no other further comments by anyone, you got, raise your hand now, please. Okay.
Just a brief comment, Commissioner. Last weekend was a celebration of National Hunting and Fishing Day that is put on by the department every year, and it occurred in East Wenatchee. And I have to commend the department for a job well done. They got participation with volunteers and local agencies and retailers, and put on an excellent show. And I know that took a lot of work and effort on the part of the department, and it was very much appreciated by those that attended. Very well done. And I just wanted to share that with the other commissioners.
Thank you, Commissioner Graybill. Any other comments or thoughts today? Hearing none, I will move to adjourn the State Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting for Friday, October 7, 2016 at 9:27 a.m. Thank you all. Have a great weekend. Yep.